MMA Torch editor Jamie Pennick, and this is the Daily Audio Update for Friday, October 24th, 2008. I'm here today with a preview audio of UFC 90 coming up tomorrow night, and I am joined by multiple members of the Torch staff tonight, including Matt Pelkey, Sean Ennis, and Jason Bent. Guys, we got our second main UFC card in as many weeks. We've got one of the best fighters in the world in Anderson Silva in our main event. And, you know, we're in the midst of a busy season of MMA action. And you just can't go wrong with just good fights nonstop, even with replacement fighters on this card. I just want to get you guys' overall thoughts on this card and what you think is going to be the best fight of the night for you. Jason, we'll start with you.
Overall, this card looks solid, but it's not necessarily spectacular because at this point, Anderson Silva against a Mack truck, you know, you're still going to give the odds to Anderson Silva. Very disappointed that Diego Sanchez is not going to be able to fight Alves, but I think the Koscheck-Alves fight is going to be a very good fight, and it's going to exceed all expectations. One of the main fights I'm looking forward to seeing is Rich Clemente versus Gray Maynard. I think that's going to be a very exciting fight, and a close second to that one would be Sean Sherk against Tyson Griffin. Those two fights, I think, are really going to pop out, and as long as we get a solid fight from Cote and, you know, Koscheck versus Alves comes through, this has more than enough action to be worth the money, and it's going to be a solid pay-per-view from start to finish.
Sean, what are you expecting out of UFC 90?
You know, Anderson Silva is pretty much worth the price of admission. You know, you could sell the card on his on the strength of his fighting ability alone. But you know, Jason's right. You got Alves Koscheck, which is probably the runaway favorite fight of the night. But then you've also got Maynard Clemente, which is intriguing. You got a showcase fight for Fabricio Werdum, which is not something that I would have expected a few months ago, especially after his first fight with Arlovski. But that should be something that'll at least make him look good. And then you've got a pretty solid undercard, too, for any fights that might make the main broadcast.
Matt, your thoughts on this card?
Yeah, I think Jason hit it on the head with the word solid. Top to bottom, this is one of the deeper cards that they've put on in quite some time. There's not that giant, you know, huge fight headlining it like next show with Couture Lesnar, and you know it's not carried by three huge fights at the top like the pay per view after that. But you have Anderson Silva, which him alone is enough to headline a pay per view. He's even when he's not given, you know, the best opponent in the world, I think as long as we can get into the second round in the main event, that'll be money well spent. And as far as the fight I'm most looking forward to, Rich Clemente, Gray Maynard is just a great style matchup, I think. And on the undercard, the Marcus Aurelio Hermes Franca fight is one I'm really hoping we get to see. Probably won't, because it's one of those fights that looks like it's probably going to a decision. So unless we get a couple quick first round finishes, it's hard to get a decision fight on the undercard on TV, but there's a lot of, you know, underlying intriguing storylines in that fight, and any Hermes Franca fight's worth watching because he's got great jiu-jitsu and he just throws crazy overhand rights, so, you know, while he's on his feet. So, yeah, I think there's not really a bad fight on the card, nothing that I don't want to see. As far as the worst fight on the card is probably the Sean Sherk Tyson Griffin fight, if you ask me, and that's probably the one with the most name value from both sides.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing on here that, like you said, that you don't want to see. I mean, everything has some level of intrigue into it, even to Werdum getting a showcase fight, like Sean said. But yeah, I'm not expecting to see much from the undercard on this pay-per-view. I mean, you've got Sherk, Griffin, and Koscheck. You're not looking for quick finishes in this show outside of the main event, perhaps. So a lot of intrigue, but not not as much name value and not as much high-profile stuff on this card. And, Jason, I'm definitely with you in wishing that Sanchez wouldn't have gone down with an injury. But for as much as I dislike Josh Koscheck, I can give the man his due. And he has definitely, I said it off air before we started recording, that he's improved tenfold from his time on The Ultimate Fighter. And he has continued to impress and look good. And he's going to give Alves a hell of a fight. What I want to see in that fight, that's the fight I'm most looking forward to, because I want to see if Alves can be as dominant as he looked against Matt Hughes, or if that performance was just indicative of how far down Matt Hughes has come in 2008. So definitely looking forward to that. But we start off our show with the fight that a couple of you mentioned as one you're really looking forward to. We got Gray Maynard against Rich Clemente. I mean, you got a three-time Division I All-American in Maynard, and you got Clemente, who's got over 40 fights under his belt. He's got 45 fights on his record, and he's coming on four consecutive victories in the UFC. So this is going to be a very interesting start to the show. Could be an explosive fight. Could be a really good ground fight. We got a lot of stuff that could happen in this fight with both of these guys, but I definitely expect to see some type of decision with the judges if we don't get a submission victory in this fight. Sean, do you agree or disagree with that take on this fight?
I think it's this is one of those fights that could go either way. You know, I think Maynard has the edge in strength. You know, Maynard's just pretty much just full. That will, you know, he'll probably look to take the fight to the ground and keep Clemente down and dominate position. And I think he'll probably be able to do that. Clemente's chance to win the fight is probably in the submissions if he was able to grab a submission from the bottom position. However, at the same time, you never know if Maynard might want to keep it standing. You know, he does have that quick knockout win over Joe Varez in his first UFC fight, and he's still very green. So it's, you know, but he's been improving so much with each fight, even though he's only got a few under his belt, that it's really, it's one of those fights that's really intriguing because you just don't know exactly what you're going to get with Maynard. However, with, you know, with Clemente, he's solid but unspectacular in pretty much every aspect of the game. You know, he's certainly able to finish a fight, but I don't know that he's got just the force, the brute force, to be able to take out a Gray Maynard without being sneaky with a submission. So I think the safe bet here is probably a Maynard taking it by decision.
Matt, what are you looking for in this fight?
I think Clemente has a huge experience advantage here that is going to pay dividends for him. I fully expect within, you know, 2 years or so that Gray Maynard, by judging by how much he's improved, like each fight to fight, I mean, it's been exponential. And I think within a couple of years he'll be challenging for a title. But I think at this point, I think he's probably, you know, he's improved his stand-up and he's got heavy hands and he likes to throw big haymakers. And I think he'll probably want to avoid the ground, actually, with Clemente. At least in the beginning, I think probably as the fight wears on, he's going to revert back to what's more comfortable for him and go for takedowns. But come on, he's got very solid boxing. He's good on the feet. Like Sean said, he's not spectacular in any area, but he's slick and he's sneaky on the ground. And I think eventually he's not going to get intimidated when he's on his back and taking some punches. I think he'll work his way out of that position. And if he gets Gray Maynard's back at any point, I think it's over from there. I think he's going to lock on a choke at some point and probably take him out sometime in the second round. It would be a minor setback for Gray Maynard, but I think this is the best Rich Clemente we've seen, I think.
And Jason, what are you expecting out of our opener?
I think Gray Maynard is going to try and come out and keep this thing on the feet and try and throw the big bombs but I look for it to be a tactical battle on the ground that could be very aggressive between the two. And I think that's where we could see a really great fight, is take this thing to the ground. Clemente is going to want to keep it there, I feel. And Gray Maynard is just, he's a beast. He's very physically strong. I think this is a great fight. We could watch Maynard really step onto the stage and announce his arrival. I mean, he's gotten better and better. But I don't think Clemente is that bad of a guy. So, you know, I think he's an elusive fighter. He's got very good hands. He's a very sneaky fighter, you know, but he's not a guy that's going to back down. He's very willing to exchange. He's willing to take it to the ground. And I think he's going to provide Gray Maynard with a great challenge at this point. And I look for it to go to the decision, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Gray Maynard finish this off in the second round. I think we're in for a treat with this fight, and we could be looking at a possibility of a future star in Gray Maynard.
Next up, we got Tyson Griffin taking on my fellow Minnesota boy and Sean Sherk in what, I mean, like I said, could be one of a couple of fights here, because they're both quick, strong, elusive 155 pounders, and yet Sean Sherk is absolutely happy to keep putting a guy on his back and keep just grinding out through three rounds with superior cardio just to take a decision. So we could get a fight that just kind of keeps going back to the ground without much happening in it. We could get a fight that turns into some type of battle that could be really explosive and highly exciting. And you know, I'm just not sure which Sean Sherk and which Tyson Griffin are going to show up. And it's not to the extreme of the Jardine Vera fight from last weekend where you're not sure who's going to show up, because whatever version shows up, they're still there to fight. They're still there to be to pick up a victory. And, you know, I'm thinking Shirk's here to rebound following his loss to BJ Penn. And I see him picking up a victory over Griffin in this one. Jason, what are you expecting out of this light heavyweight battle? Lightweight battle.
Sean Sherk has a lot that he needs to prove. And that is how he's going to come into this fight. And I think we're going to see a very, very aggressive Sean Sherk that I feel is going to be too much for Tyson Griffin right now. I just do. I love Tyson Griffin. I think he's a great fighter, and I think he's got a huge upside. But Sherk is going to come into this fight driven beyond belief to prove that he's still capable, that he still belongs, that we can forget, you know, that positive steroid test. There's so many questions out there, and, you know, he was thoroughly throttled by BJ Penn. Sean Sherk is on a mission, and I think he's going to try and just blast Tyson Griffin out of there, and he's just going to throw bombs in every direction and just be a buzzsaw. And this Sean Sherk at this moment, I think, is going to be a little bit too much for Tyson Griffin. Tyson Griffin is on the way up, but at this point, I don't think Sherk is necessarily on the way down so soon. I think we're in for a treat. There's always a possibility of an upset here. You know, I could be way off base, but I think Sherk is coming to this one with way too much to prove and a need to prove it right now, which is going to, you know, tell the difference in the fight.
All right, Matt, Sherk, Griffin, who you got? What's happening in this fight?
I got Sherk. I think I agree. He's going to be a little bit too much for him, but I think on paper, you know, you look at the names Tyson Griffin, Sean Sherk, and you think, wow, this is great. A former UFC lightweight champ trying to get back on top against the young, probably, you know, top young prospect in the lightweight division colliding. But I think once it gets in the ring, it's going to be three rounds of boredom. I think you're going to have two guys who, you know, will not want to play to their strengths and will want to stand with each other and throw a few minutes of non-dynamic strikes at each other. And then when one starts to lose the striking battle, they'll take the other down. I think that'll be Sean Sherk losing the stand-up battle, because I think Tyson Griffin's a little bit better on the feet, but Sherk is capable of taking anybody down, including BJ Penn, which I still don't understand why he didn't do that in that fight. But I think Shirk's going to take him down and wear him down and be Sean Sherk and win a decision. These guys have combined for their last seven victories combined have been all decisions, so I can't see a finish happening in this fight. And the only thing I'm worried about is if Sean Sherk loses this fight, I think it's time to start wondering, just like we do with Matt Hughes, is he starting to deteriorate? He's 35 years old. He's been in a lot of fights, and it might just be his time to start wearing down. That's what happens to the body when you get there.
All right, Sean, we got a couple of different takes on this fight and where it's going to go. Where are you at on this one?
This is a tough fight because I think you could look at it either way, like Jason and Matt both talked about. Sherk is a mauler. He likes to take guys down, and he likes to just beat on them and dominate position. If there's one thing you can bet the house on in this fight, it's that it's going to go to a decision, guaranteed. There's no way it doesn't, honestly. But I think, if I was to have an upset special, I think this is the one. I think this is where Tyson Griffin, he's got an underrated game from the bottom, I think. I don't think he was ready in the Frankie Edgar fight for what he got in Frankie Edgar when he lost that fight. I think he absolutely knows what Sherk is going to try. I think he's not afraid of Sherk's stand-up, which he really shouldn't be because he's got better stand-up than Sherk does. But I think he's probably been looking at defending a lot of takedowns. He's also a decent wrestler, so I think he's gonna have a pretty good sprawl to defend against Sherk. And he's also, even if he does get on the bottom, I think he's going to be able to keep Sherk corralled a little bit. You'll probably see a lot of referee stand-ups in this one. If there's one thing you won't see, it's Tyson Griffin getting gassed out and having his guard passed like it's nothing, like Sherk did to Hermes Franca. Passing Hermes Franca's guard like it wasn't even there. But that's not going to happen to Griffin because Griffin's got a gas tank just like Sherk does. So, neither guy's going to get tired. So it's just going to come down to who can dominate the position. And I think Sherk might be able to get the takedowns, but I don't think he's going to be able to do any damage. I think Griffin is going to be able to do damage on the feet and be able to hold, keep Sherk at bay enough on the ground to where he's able to grab decisions.
That brings us to our heavyweight battle on this card between Fabricio Werdum and the newcomer to the UFC, Junior Dos Santos. Which is another one where Werdum's coming off of a somewhat controversial victory over Brandon Vera. And Dos Santos is coming in to make a name for himself. The line is ridiculously in favor of Fabricio Werdum in this. And if I were a betting man, I'd put something on Santos just for the sheer numbers of where this is at. But, you look at some of the background of Dos Santos, who he's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt himself, as is Werdum. The ground game could go. I'm not sure who would have the upper hand in the ground game because obviously we haven't seen much of anything of Dos Santos. Not many people have. So I'm intrigued to see if he comes in and shocks many people and takes Werdum out, but I think Werdum is, especially with some of his comments from the last couple of weeks about being jumped over by both Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir for that heavyweight title tournament, I think he's in a spot where he wants to look dominant and he wants to come out and he wants to show people that he deserves to be in the mix with those names right now. So I think Werdum comes with a definitely dominant performance, but I think Junior Dos Santos could come in and shock some people with how he takes on Fabricio here. How are you thinking this fight's going to go?
I think it's obviously it's Werdum's fight to lose. He's one of the top heavyweights in the world, and certainly is good enough to be fighting for the title. He just kind of happened to be the odd man out because of the names involved with the heavyweight tournament. But Dos Santos, he comes at a Team Black House, so he's an Anderson Silva, Nogueira disciple. But he's not like one of their top-of-the-line prospects. He's not, Rafael Feijão. I think he's more of like, a few years ago when whenever the UFC needed somebody to come in and have a good showing but lose to one of their, you know, better fighters, they'd call Pat Miletich and have one of his fighters come in. I think he's that kind of fighter. He's going to come in and probably look okay, but he should get submitted by Werdum. He's been submitted before by, you know, somebody not nearly the grappler that Werdum is. So my only concern is that Werdum weighed in at 256 pounds for this fight, and he's usually in the 235-240 range. So I don't know. I haven't seen the video. It may be a case of he just put on some added muscle, or it may be a case of he's eaten anything he wanted to because he's insulted by the fight and doesn't think he deserves to be here, kind of like a football team that gets left out of the good bowl game and they end up getting upset by a team that should be clearly inferior to them, but they didn't want to be there, so they get picked off. That's my only real concern is motivation, but I don't think it'll be a factor because he knows to just keep winning fights and eventually he'll get a title shot.
Jason, what do you think we're going to see out of Fabricio here?
I think Fabricio is going to come in and try and make the statement. He was snubbed. You know, he was not put in with all those other top heavyweights, and he was just the odd man out. I didn't see how he looks, but, I mean, that's a lot of weight he's carrying. I don't know enough about Dos Santos to even be dangerous in, you know, speaking of his abilities. I haven't seen much of him, if any at all. Height and reach are about equal, but, I mean, Werdum has a lot to prove. Not so much to us, but just that perceived snub. You know, he's on the main card, and here's a chance to just rock somebody and knock him out of there, and I look for him to just go out and tear it up in the first round. If it gets beyond the first round just based on carrying that much weight, which is going to be a new thing for him, I mean, a fighter carrying that much extra weight is going to be very taxing on him. If it gets past the first round, it's his fight to lose then, because at that point you have to wonder about his conditioning and you have to wonder about what Dos Santos has in his tank and what he could do that could put him at an advantage. But I see this one ending in the first pretty spectacularly, and I think it should prove to be a statement fight for Werdum, or at least enough that he can say, look, you guys are not going to deny me. I'm here, and I'll be waiting in the wings for whoever's next once you guys settle this thing with the title.
And Sean, where are you at on this fight?
Yeah, you know, Jason's exactly right about the statement fight. This should be seen by Werdum as a statement fight, as a gift fight, as a fight that says, look, you're not in the heavyweight tournament, but, you know, make yourself look good against this guy, and you're still going to be in the running. That's how he should be looking at this fight. Now, I can tell you, by looking at the pictures, I haven't seen the video, but it does not look like muscle that Werdum put on. It's a little bit soft, but... You know, who knows? It's he might have soft muscle. I don't know, but you know, I hope for his sake that he comes out and makes himself look good, because it's a gift. The gift of a fight. You know, you get a guy that's unknown, that's unheralded, and you go out and you take care of business. You know, it should be that kind of fight for Werdum. He's got not only the probably the skills edge, but the experience edge by a mile. So. You know, he should be able to come out and get a spectacular win in the first round. And if he doesn't, I don't know who else he can blame other than himself. So, but I hope, you know, for the heavyweight division's sake as well, that he does well, because it's always good to have some top performers in the heavyweight division.
And that brings us to Josh Koscheck taking on Thiago Alves on short notice following Diego Sanchez pulling out, but. Of course, Koscheck was already training for a December fight, which he hasn't officially been taken out of as well. I mean, there's still a possibility, depending on how he comes out of this Alves fight, that he could still try to make that Fight Night 16 card as well. But this is another one of those statement fights for welterweight guys, especially with Alves. But it gives Koscheck a chance to really shoot himself right back up the ladder. With a victory over Alves here, and this could be definitely an explosive fight for Koscheck standards, because as I've said, I mean, I'm impressed by how he's improved. I'm not a Koscheck fan, but I can give him props for improving his game continually since coming into the UFC. but I mean, his bread and butter is still his wrestling and his ground game. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Alves and his just brawling style. And it just like I said at the beginning of this, I really want to see if the Alves we saw at UFC 85 was the real Thiago Alves, or if it was just Matt Hughes not being able to do it anymore. And we're going to find out against Josh Koscheck if Thiago Alves is the real deal here or if he's not. And I expect this to be an explosive fight that may end in the second round here. But it's another one of those that they could brawl to the end. They could grind it out to the end. It's another one of those tough to decipher exactly where this one is going to come down to in the end of, in when all is said and done. But I think Thiago takes the win. I think that what he showed in June was more of the real deal. But that said, he was also training to fight Diego Sanchez up until a few weeks ago. So that taking on a new opponent on short notice could have an effect in this as well. Jason, where are you standing on this fight?
I think this is a litmus test for Alves because, you know, we're not sure if he really beat Matt Hughes or if Matt Hughes is done with at this point. I think Alves, he's a big guy. He actually made weight for this fight, which is a nice change of pace. But I think he comes in and he puts on a lot of pounds before the fight. So he's going to be very, very strong. Koscheck impressed me against Lytle. He's improved by leaps and bounds. And I think he's going to be willing to go. The fact that he took this fight on the short notice, I got to give him a lot of respect and a lot of credit for this. It could be as much to his advantage for taking this fight like this as it could be to Alves' detriment, but I really don't want to think so. I still have Thiago finishing things off in the second round. I think Koscheck is going to get a little too confident, feel a little too brave, and the naturally larger man is going to finish him off in the second round. They could go the distance. You know, if Koscheck pulls this off, it really would be a surprise to me, but I'm going with Alves in the second round. He's going to finish him off. I think he's going to prove to be too big, too strong, and too much at this moment. I really wish, you know, we would see Diego Sanchez in this fight. Maybe we'll see that down the line. This is going to be a fun fight for as long as it lasts, and this will be the chance to see, you know, where Alves is at this point. I'm just glad he came in at the proper weight and ready to go. I'm excited to see this one.
Sean, do you think Alves is the real deal, or do you think Hughes was just done in June?
I think Alves is for sure the real deal. We're going to learn two things in this fight, and that is how good is Thiago Alves' takedown defense, and how good is Josh Koscheck's chin, because both will be tested. I believe that Alves' strikes will win the day. The last five of his fights are all second-round TKOs, and I believe that the tradition will continue with this fight. I think that Koscheck may be able to take him down, but he won't win on every shot, and he'll also Alves will make him pay for the ones that he misses. He knocked out Tony D'Souza with a knee, and Tony D'Souza is no joke. You know, also included on his knockout list, Cara Parisian, and you don't just knock out Cara Parisian, not to mention Chris Lytle. You know, Lytle was a doctor stoppage, but still. You know, Thiago Alves, his striking is no joke. He's got excellent jiu-jitsu. So, you know, he can work from the bottom position. And I think he takes this fight not easily, but it won't be his toughest fight. Koscheck, if he stands there and wings those big overhand rights like he likes to do, he's going to get knocked out in the first round. Because Alves will pick him apart. He's gonna check his legs. He's gonna get to the legs with leg kicks, and I think it goes to the second round. And Alves makes him pay with a knee to the head when he shoots in, and I think that's when he finishes it.
I'm with you on that, Matt. Your thoughts on this semi-main event?
I am in the camp of thinking that Matt Hughes is a shell of his former self. And that worries me because while in the time that, that Alves was either standing or had top control on the ground, he was able to, you know, quickly and decisively inflict a lot of damage. The only problem is Matt Hughes was still able to take him down and hold him down for several minutes. He didn't, you know, wasn't very active on the ground, but Matt Hughes has never been very active on the ground. So my concern is Josh Koscheck right now is leaps and bounds a better wrestler than Matt Hughes. So I think, you know, if I see this going through a decision, and I see, you know, Alves standing and having control maybe 4 minutes of that 15 minutes. The other 11 minutes, I see Josh Koscheck holding him down on the ground, and I think Alves would do more damage in the fight. But as we all know, judges reward position. I don't agree with it. I think it should be who does the most damage regardless of position. But I think it's going to come down to that. It's going to, Koscheck is going to take him down, not at will, but consistently. And he's going to hold him there, and eventually Alves will use his athletic ability to get up. But in the end, the difference is going to be the positioning, and I think Koscheck takes a decision in this one.
And that brings us to our main event of the evening, Patrick Cote getting his title shot against pretty much the best fighter in the world in Anderson Silva. And you know what? I don't see Cote making it to the third round. I don't see him being able to do what so many others have not been able to do against Anderson Silva. I just don't think he's nearly at that level. I think Silva has just shown us time and time again that it doesn't matter who he's facing. He's ready to take on the challenge. I don't think he's one to overlook an opponent. I just, plain and simple, too good, too strong, too fast, too elusive, too everything for Patrick Cote. And this fight ends in a second round TKO. Plain and simple. Anderson Silva goes to 8-0 in the UFC. Matt, do you see this going any other way?
No. I mean, I'd be crazy to pick against Anderson Silva. I think that his concern is, and everybody's concern for him, is that he has stated, you know, he wants to retire by the time he's 35, and he has 6 fights left on his contract, and he went to Dana White and said, I want the biggest fights possible. Patrick Cote is not one of the biggest fights possible. I like Patrick Cote. I think he's a B-plus level middleweight, but he's clearly not on Anderson Silva's level. But he does pose some problems in that he has power in both his hands and he has a great chin. He's kind of a more technical Chris Weidman. And I think that's probably the best combination for beating Anderson Silva. I mean, Anderson Silva's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, so it's unlikely he's going to get submitted. Maybe there's a wrestler who can hold him down for 5 rounds, and, you know, we're really excited to see that matchup whenever it happens. But I think there's the slight possibility of the huge Matt Serra George St. Pierre upset, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Silva probably, maybe Cote takes one too many shots and kind of falls into a takedown and gets him down, but even then I think Silva will end up submitting him once it gets there, but second round is as far as it goes.
Sean, where do you stand on Cote's chances in this fight?
Yeah, he doesn't really stand much of a chance. You know, does he have a chin? Absolutely. Chris Leben also has a chin, and Silva destroyed him. So I think this fight does not go that much different than the fight with Leben, quite honestly. You know, he may take until the second round to get his reach. He usually kind of does that, you know, feels things out for a little while and then finishes somebody off in the second. I believe there is zero chance that it goes to the ground, because the only way it would get there is if Silva took him down, and I don't see Silva doing that. Cote has absolutely nothing for him on the ground, and would get submitted in a matter of seconds. And I think, you know, Silva enjoys knocking people out, and that's what he's going to do. I mean, he's going to, you know, find his range, and he's going to knock Cote out. I mean, Cote's putting a brave face on and talking, and that's what he should be doing. But he stands he stands no chance at all against Anderson Silva.
Jason, where are you at on our main event?
Anderson Silva is too much for anybody at this point, and of all the fighters in the UFC or even MMA as a whole, if there's anybody that could handle the one-night tournament thing like the early UFCs, it's Anderson Silva, because he expends very little energy and gets a lot of results for it. He's very efficient. But the thing is, when you're that good, things become too easy. There is a possibility he could be a little complacent and not be as motivated for this fight. And in that respect, Patrick Cote is coming into this fight with nothing to lose, everything in the world to gain, and nobody's going to point a finger at him if he goes out on his shield in the first 20 seconds. And I think that is going to serve to motivate him. And it's possible that Anderson Silva could be a little bit bored going in, especially with the pending retirement plans and so on. I got to be a realist. Anderson Silva is going to stop him. It's going to be spectacular, but I look for it to happen in the second round. But I think it's going to take a few minutes. I say around the three-minute mark of the second round is when Cinderella Cote turns into a pumpkin and Anderson Silva smashes him all over the ring, because that is going to be the finish. But I think Patrick Cote is coming into this fight. This is a guy who, you know, from his losing streak, I had him as just a third-tier kind of guy. He's more than shown me that he is up to a B-level fighter, but a B-level fighter on his best day can seldom hang with an A-plus fighter on even his worst day. And I think it's going to be too little against too much. Anderson Silva is just that damn dominant, and he is that good. And that is why he is the main event. And this is Anderson Silva's show. Everybody else is just playing a role in it.
All right, guys. Pick time. We've made a couple of them throughout this, but we'll just go main card here. Who wins? When do they win it? How do they win it? Matt, we'll start with you.
I got Rich Clemente, submission, second round. Sean Sherk by decision. Verdum, submission in the second. Koscheck by decision. And Anderson Silva, second round submission.
Jason, your picks.
Okay, I'm going to actually go from the top to the bottom. I'm going with Anderson Silva, round two KO over Patrick Cote. It's going to be mirror image as far as the finish for the Thiago Alves-Josh Koscheck fight. I see that one ending in the second round for Thiago Alves. I see Rich Clemente getting the decision over Gray Maynard. I really think that one's going to go the distance. Fabricio Verdum is going to, he should, and I expect him to finish off Junior Dos Santos in the first round with relative ease, especially, you know, even around that much weight. And I look for the muscle shark to take this one to the distance, but he's going to get a unanimous decision victory over Tyson Griffin, who just isn't ready for the Sean Sherk that's going to be fighting tomorrow night at this point.
All right, Sean, where are you at on these fights?
All right, I've got Maynard by decision, so I wouldn't be shocked if he at some point were able to knock out Clemente with ground and pound. I've got Griffin by decision. I've got Verdum by a first-round sub. I've got Alves in second-round TKO. I'm going to go ahead and pick Silva by, let's say, a late first-round knockout, just to change things up a little bit.
All right, I'm going to go Maynard with I'm with you on the ground and pound, Sean. I'm thinking late third round TKO, if not a decision, but I'll go with the TKO for pick purposes. Sean Sherk with a unanimous decision. Fabricio Verdum, first round knockout. TKO, KO. Junior Dos Santos, he might show us something, but I really see Fabricio coming out to really show people why he's talking the way he is. Alves Koscheck is the tough one for me, but I think it's going to, I'm going to go late round, late second round knockout by Alves, and Anderson Silva early second round knockout over Cote. So, we'll find out again if we're wrong or completely right tomorrow night. Sean, you and I both have our coverage up, and we'll be back again on Sunday with another odd view on UFC 90, and we'll look forward to the big Couture-Lesnar fight coming up. God, guys, we're just a few weeks away, a couple weeks away from that fight, and it's coming upon us, and then we've got 92 following that late in December, which is just shaping up to be one of the all-time stacked cards. And again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, we're in an exciting time. UFC is in its stride, guys. Thank you for joining me again, and thanks for listening to the audio update on MMATorch.com. This is Jamie Pennick signing off.